Chapter 7. Socrates. The Socrates system was a dark one. It was in an isolated sector in the eastern region of the Segmentum Pacificus, far from trade routes. It lacked any strategic value. The sun that shone on Socrates was so distant, the light that reached the shrine world was frozen. It was the glint of ice and the memory of solitude. The sluggish winds of the planet's thin atmosphere stirred nitrogen snows over the roofs of mausoleums large as manufactoria. The architecture reminded Thane more of an incrustation than of solemn remembrance. Sepulchres and vaults and chapels were built into and atop one another, tumours of granite and marble connected by tendrils of staircases. Squad Gladius and Venand followed Veritas down the staircases. The route was labyrinthine and patchwork. Flights descended for hundreds of metres or less than five. Sometimes Veritas chose a direction that climbed back upward for a few minutes, then he would take a sudden turn downward again. Sometimes he would pause and consult his data slate. For the most part, he walked without hesitation.
"He is sure of his way," Straton said.
"Very," Thane agreed.
"What do you know of this world?"
he asked Venand. She walked just ahead of the squad, a few steps behind Veritas.
"Nothing," she said. "I had never heard of it before now."
"You have not been looking at the correct records," Veritas said without looking back.
The old man took the stairs with a surprisingly limber gait, even in his environmental suit.
"Oh, and which ones were those?"
Veritas didn't answer. Eventually, the staircases were no longer in the open air. The Death Watch moved past and through shrines that had been buried by the others.
"This is an underhive of remembrance," said Forcas.
Thane shone his light over the statuary.
"What era is this from?"
he asked Veritas.
"The Great Crusade," Veritas said, "and a few centuries after. Then it was forgotten."
Thane supposed he should not be surprised. Socrates was off the trade routes. There were no habitable planets in the system, and it had no strategic value. He could imagine the memory of the world fading until it was a name on mouldering lists. That did not explain how Veritas knew of its existence. At last, they reached a door guarded by two caryatids in ancient armour. Their mouths were covered by grills in the form of imperial eagles.
"You've been here before," said Venand.
"No,"
Veritas replied. They passed through the high arch between the caryatids. A domed space lay beyond. Sarcophagi ringed the periphery. Statues lay in repose on each tomb. They wore the same armour as the tomb's guardians. Veritas pointed upward.
"There," he said. "That is what we've come to see."
The space marines directed their lamps at the dome. Its fresco, dim with age and frost, depicted a group of female warriors. Cloaks billowed behind their armour, blending together, becoming thunderclouds edged with fire. The women held their swords upraised, converging towards the centre of the dome, where a red sun blazed.
"The stars," Abathar said.
"Yes," said Veritas. "That is what we came here to learn."
The red sun was at the centre of a pattern of stars, Thane now saw.
"A chart," he said.
"Of where?" said Venand.
"Of the location of Valtus," Veritas said. "One of the principal fortresses of the Sisters of Silence. This one is close to the edge of Imperial space. If unsanctioned psychers hoped to find refuge at the frontier, they were mistaken."
"What makes you think we'll find them there?" Thane asked.
"I have accounted for the other, less remote fortresses. They are all abandoned."
"That doesn't explain why this one won't be," said Venand.
Veritas shrugged.
"That is where we must go," he said.
The Herald of Night's navigator identified Valtus' system as Exteris. When the strike cruiser translated from the warp, the red giant filled the oculus with sullen, crimson light.
"Hostile contacts,"
the master of the Orspex called out.
"The orcs are here,"
said Adnakil.
"Yes, lord."
Thane stood with the rest of the squad and the two Inquisitors around the tacticarium table. He watched the vidscreens light up with the configurations of the enemy deployment. The orcs had a small fleet, stationed above a moon on the gas giant, fourth from the star.
Two battleships, Adnakiel said from the pulpit. Five cruisers.
What are they doing out here?
Venand wondered.
Saving us time in our search, said Adnakiel. We know where we're heading now.
Lord, said the Auspex officer, the vessels are not attacking.
What?
We are picking up heat emissions, suggesting launches but no bombardment. We're also detecting some launches from the moon's surface.
Missiles?
No, too slow. I would suggest orcs returning to the motherships.
Adnakiel turned around to face Thane.
This is your search, he said. Your determination.
This doesn't sound like combat, said Thane.
It does not, Adnakiel agreed. It sounds like the end of an engagement.
We can't be too late, Thane told himself. If the orcs had won so easily, their search had been pointless from the start.
We need to see for ourselves, he said.
Why are the orcs here? Said Abathar. The question is significant.
Thane nodded.
We need to go in.
Adnakiel kept the huge orb of the gas giant between the Herald of Night and the orc fleet. Shipmaster Aelia brought the strike cruiser as close to the atmosphere as possible, deep within the planet's ferocious magnetosphere. The penitent Roth launched just over the horizon from the greenskin ships. Cafsiel, the Thunderhawk's pilot, skimmed the cauldron of the emerald atmosphere until he had a straight shot up to the planet-side face of the tidally locked moon. The satellite was a small one, a craggy, barren rock not much more than 100 kilometers in diameter. Cafsiel flew low above the surface, twisting through jagged canyons.
If you have any knowledge of the fortress, Thane said to Veritas, it would be useful to hear it.
You know as much as I do, the Inquisitor said. My knowledge ended on Secretus.
Then you will remain with the penitent Roth until we have a secured position.
No, Venant said. We will follow with all due caution, but we're coming with you.
Why? Thane asked. He indulged in some heavy irony. Don't you trust us?
We need to see, Venant said,
and Veritas nodded. Thane disliked the unanimity the Inquisitors were showing. Venan's tone, though, was more urgent. When she said we, it sounded like I. He thought about trying to force them to stay. He decided against it. If they got themselves killed, he would not mourn the loss. The surface of the moon became more deeply scarred as the Thunderhawk drew nearer the fortress. The canyons were narrow, deep, and interconnected. Soon, the penitent Roth was flying through a landscape as cracked and shattered as glass, as if the gunship were approaching the site of a great blow. Cafsiel took the Thunderhawk up out of one gorge, then immediately dropped into a crevice no more than 15 meters wide and hundreds deep. It cut almost directly towards the coordinates where the Herald of Night's long-range Auspex scans indicated Vultus stood. Thane felt the webbing of his grav harness strain as Cafsiel took hard turns between the rock walls. A few minutes later, the crevice opened up into a deep, narrow bowl. Looking through a viewing block, Venan said,
"This was a world shaped to their purpose."
"Indeed," Thane agreed.
Rising from the bowl was an immense column. It towered 100 meters above the lip of the bowl, and it was over 1 kilometer wide. Vultus sat like a bird of prey on its peak. The fortress had been carved out of the rock of the column, the dark stone shaped into harsh towers. Their facades were perfectly vertical, their angles, little eroded after 1,000 years, were sharp as blades. Cafsiel flew just above the floor of the bowl as he closed in on the column. The orcs appeared to have landed in the area beyond the bowl, and on the launch pads Thane could see projecting from the column and the base of the fortress. As he watched, a ship lifted off one of the platforms. It trailed a long stream of fire in the thin atmosphere.
They're leaving, Venan said.
Some of them.
Cafsiel had gone into a steep climb. The features of Vultus were becoming clearer. So were the shapes of other orc vessels their wings overhanging the edges of the platforms.
They can't help but see us soon, said Veritas.
If they look, said Abathar.
I have a target for insertion, Gafsiel said over the gunship's vox. The defense battery's directly above us.
A good choice, Straton said. There are no landing platforms on this face of the fortress.
Unless the orcs were using the guns, Thane brushed away the pessimistic thought. Whatever the orcs wanted with Vultus, he did not believe they had come to seize it and hold it against non-existent enemies.
Make ready, Thane said.
He detached the grav harness. He stood. Leaning against the sharp angle of the ascent, he moved to the side door. He slid it back. A hot wind raged through the troop compartment. The Death Watch squad gathered behind him. The penitent Roth leveled off as it reached the height of the fortress. A domed building, hulking in the center of the complex, gave Thane the impression of a structure closed in on itself. Its nature seemed to float ambiguously between refuge and prison. There were windows in the towers. They had all been smashed. Wedges of armor glass glinted like teeth in the red light of the sun. Cafsiel lowered the Thunderhawk over a gun emplacement halfway up. The platform was wide and ran most of the length of the facade. Silent cannons waited to destroy any enemy who would dare approach Vultus. The enemy had come, though. The enemy was doing what it willed, and the guns remained silent. Squad Gladius jumped from the gunship. The penitent Roth dropped back down the column, and Thane led the way at a swift march to the nearest entrance. The plasteel door had been smashed down from the inside. The passageway was dark. The fortress had no power. It was inert, dead as the rock of its walls. Aggressive life moved through the tomb, though. Brutes growled in the distance. Things smashed. But there was no gunfire. There was no battle.
The Sisters of Silence are not here, Forecast said.
There would be fighting, Venan agreed.
And I would feel them, said Forecast. I would feel the pressure of a psychical null. This is futile, said Warfist.
The cannons we passed have not been serviced for a long time, Abathar put in. It is highly unlikely the orcs have defeated the Sisters. Vultus has been abandoned, perhaps for centuries.
Our search ends here, then, Straton asked.
Perhaps not, said Venand. The dome on Sacratus showed us the way here. Maybe this dome has a similar message.
The chances seemed remote to Thane. But we have to find them, he thought. Any possibility was worth exploring.
We make for the dome, then, he said. Silent kills. We have not come to fight an entire orc fleet.
Warfist growled low in his chest, the sound predatory in anticipation. He took point, lightning claws extended. The rest of the squad Gladius drew blades. Venand took out her las pistol.
I'll use it only if we're discovered, she said.
Veritas carried no weapon.
You are not very formidable, Inquisitor, Warfist said.
In combat, no, said Veritas. Nor am I a fool.
Yet here we are, Thane thought. They moved into the corridor. The walls were bare. The shredded remains of tapestries lay at their base. The first intersection was littered with overturned pedestals and smashed statuary. A severed head, its mouth covered by the same eagle grill as the caryatids of Sacratus, stared at the ceiling, judgment hard as the void in its blank eyes. The route to the dome was obvious. The passageway from the gun emplacements ended at a corridor wide as an avenue. Traffic would once have moved rapidly from one end of the citadel to the other down great halls radiating like spokes from the dome. Vehicles had come down this route very recently. The air stank of spent fuel. The walls were marred by wide scorch marks, and for as far as Thane could see in the light cast by their helms, broken statues lay on the floor.
The vandalism is systematic, Forecast said. There is hatred here.
The orcs recognize the threat of the Sisters of Silence, said Veritas.
How? Venan asked. Have they encountered them before?
These orc witches are powerful, said Forecast. Perhaps as a collective, they can sense the presence of a threat somewhere. They're searching, too. seeking to destroy the threat and any trace that it ever existed.
From far down the corridor came growls and the sounds of smashing stone.
We will not surprise them on this route, Warfist said.
He turned off the wide hall at the first opportunity and found a narrow passage running parallel, loping ahead of the rest of the squad. He had removed his helm, and he paused at intersections to sniff the air. The further the Death Watch went, the louder the orc din became. The sounds bounced off the stones of Vultus, redirected by the whims of the architecture.
Orspex, said Thane. Unhelpful, Abathar replied. The biomass is too large and mobile, and we do not know the floor plans of this fortress. I cannot narrow the enemy's location and movements to specific halls.
Warfis held up a hand. Helm lights switched off. Thane blinked through to thermal sight.
Warfist was motionless. Approaching, the Space Wolf foxed.
He prowled forward, a silent giant, then turned left into another branching corridor and vanished. Thane waited. Sounds grew sharper. Booted feet were coming closer. The snarls were close, not echoes. Metal scraped against stone. Thane's lenses picked up heat silhouettes. Then light reappeared. A large group of orcs came down the corridor at a fast march. They shouted at each other as they dragged their blades along the engravings on the walls. The lead orc wielded a jagged cleaver in each hand. The beast was large enough to gouge both walls as it ran.
Take them, said Thane.
Forcas struck first. The blow was silent. Its effect was not. The lead orc stumbled. It screamed. It dropped its weapons and clutched its head. It fell to its knees. The mob behind it milled in confusion. The agony of their leader held the greenskins' attention. They did not shine their lights further down the corridor. They did not think to suspect an attack. The leader's howls became a hissing rasp, pain exceeding the body's ability to express it. Scalding blood erupted from its eyes and ears and mouth. Crimson steam filled the hall. The chieftain's body fell forward at the same moment that Warfist hit the orcs from behind. He jabbed forward with his lightning claws, stabbing through the necks of two greenskins at once. Thane heard his satisfied grunt on the vox. Thane and Straton rushed on, Abathar and Forcas following more slowly. The orcs heard the pounding of Ceramite boots and finally looked up, much too late. Thane and Straton cut into the greenskins with chainswords. The snarl of the blades rattled the stones of the hall, yet it was of a kind with the howls of the orcs and the roar of their weapons. The orcs' guns were still strapped to their belts. They had thought they were alone in the fortress. Thane wanted the delusion preserved for the rest of the force.
No firearms, he voxed to the squad.
Good, said Warfist.
Thane ran his blade through the chest of one orc. He yanked it from the falling corpse with such violence the edge of the blade plunged into the shoulder of the orc to his right, severing the arm, then grinding through the beast's spine. Straton clashed with a greenskin almost as big as the dead leader. He angled his chainsword and cut through the head of the orc's hammer. The Xenos weapon fell into two halves, and the ultramarine's blade continued downward, cleaving the monster's skull. Abathar's plasma cutter burned through eyes and throats, the hiss of its beam unheard in the tumult. Forcas boiled the blood of another orc. Warfist killed two more before the rest of the mob at last realized death had come for them in both directions. They lashed out, and they were strong in their rage. The Death Watch was precise. Thane and Straton pressed in hard. There was no room in the narrow passage for the orcs to find their footing and use their mass. They had no momentum behind their blows. An axe crashed against Thane's helmet. His ears rang. He brought his chainsword up through the orc's gut. The huge body shuddered. There was a second, weaker blow of the axe before it fell from dead fingers. Squad Gladius waded deeper into the greenskins. Thane's senses were submerged in the thick, liquid stench of gouting blood and greenskin musk. Claws and blades and tusks and straining muscle tried to fell him. He cut the tide back. He and his brothers in black forced it down. Ultramarine doggedness meshed with Space Wolf savagery, with Blood Angel precision and Dark Angel relentlessness. The machine rendered the orcs to bloody meat. Thane had seen the fusion of battle philosophies on the attack moon in the desperation of that struggle. He saw it again now, the interlacing occurring automatically, triggered by the moment of conflict. As the last of the orcs fell, he began to understand why the Council felt so threatened by the Death Watch. This was a new force for war. Venand watched the five space marines take apart a score of orcs in a matter of seconds. She realized Veritas was looking at her. "What is it?" she said as the squad moved on. Her boots splashed through a pool of blood.
"That skirmish didn't mean anything," said Veritas.
"Your point?"
"Any squad of Adeptus Astartes would have made short work of those orcs."
"I see,"
she said, as if she accepted what Veritas was saying. Her interest in the Death Watch threatened him, she thought. Good. Veritas was right. He was also obfuscating. The importance of what Venant had watched lay not in the challenge this group of orcs had presented, but in the manner the squad had eliminated them. The disparate operated in unison, forming a lethally efficient whole. That was what was important. The Death Watch encountered two more orc patrols on the way to the dome. Warfist varied the route, switching corridors every few junctions, sometimes backtracking or travelling laterally for a brief period before returning to the original heading. The orcs went down quickly each time, with no shots fired. The rest of the orcs in the fortress never had the chance to learn what had come among them. This deep in the fortress, they were surrounded by the clamour of the orcs rampaging through chambers and halls, smashing all they found. The infernal choir of Xenos roars was a mixture of triumph, rage, and frustration. The orcs had come to destroy an enemy that had vanished from these halls centuries before. The Death Watch entered the main hall again for the last 100 meters before the entrance to the dome.
"We should wait," Forecast said. "There is a battle ahead. It will serve no purpose to engage."
"Orc witches?" Thane asked.
"Yes," said Forecast. "Several."
"The Auspex indicates a large horde," Abathar said.
Warfist snorted.
"I can hear it, Tekmarine."
The squad withdrew into an alcove. The entrance to the dome glimmered with light from the space beyond. Venan could make out the movement of hundreds of large bodies. The dome rang with bestial shouts. There were flashes of energy, too, which made her skin crawl. The flares were powerful, the colours somehow inherently inhuman. At intervals, the clamour of the mob faded, and individual orc voices rose to prominence. The horde was listening. Venan listened, too, to the sound of the green-skinned witches. There was no sense to the language, but she could hear the power. She glanced at Forcas. Deep in the shadows of his psychic hood, his eyes glittered, his concentration was ferocious. These were the voices they must silence, Venan thought. She felt the tension in the squad as the warriors held back from battle. They understood the necessity of restraint, and they resented that necessity.
"How long must we wait here?"
Warfist growled.
"Until they go," said Thane. The Space Wolf growled, "This is shameful."
"Shame," said Forcas, "would come in failing the mission by rushing into a pointless fight we could not win."
Warfist muttered something Venan could not make out. Then he was silent again. It was several hours before the orcs tired of the dome. They streamed out of multiple doors. 3 armored transport vehicles thundered past the squad's alcove. Behind them came well over 100 orcs. After they passed, Venan could hear the fading sounds of other parties heading out in other directions from inside the dome. Quiet fell at last beyond the doorway. Thane waited another few minutes, then nodded and led the way into the dome. In the distance, Venan could still hear the orcs ransacking Vultus. There was also the deep roar of ships taking off from the landing platforms. The greenskins were not yet done with the fortress, but the departure was accelerating. She wondered if the orcs had found a destination. The space marines played their helm lights over the hall beneath the dome. They fanned out across the vastness.
"What are we looking for?" Straighten asked.
"Anything," said Thane.
"The orcs didn't leave anything," Warfist observed.
The floor was a mass of wreckage. Venand assumed there had been statuary here, but there was nothing left of it now. She had to clamber over mounds of rubble to reach the centre of the hall. There had been something large there before. There was a massive heap of ruined stone now. There were angled chunks of marble and vague shapes, suggestive of massiveness. A colossus of the Emperor, perhaps. A figure to tower beneath a dome, to inspire with majesty. Gone now, reduced to nothing, significance turned to dust. Veritas wandered between the mounds a little distance away. Venand called to him, "If we find nothing, then what?" No answer. "You thought the Sisters of Silence would be here, didn't you?" she thought. "You don't have an option beyond this."
"There's nothing up there," Straton said.
Venand craned her head back. The squad's beams moved over the interior of the dome, soaring far above. There was no fresco as there had been on Sacratus. There was nothing at all. Only darkness.
"Did the orcs destroy what was here?" Thane asked.
"It would appear not,"
Abathar said.
"The stone itself is black. I perceive some smoke damage, but not much else."
A few moments later, he said,
"There is evidence of scoring. The dome may have been scraped."
"By the orcs?" said Thane.
"No, the scoring is beneath the smoke. It was done centuries ago."
"There's no gallery," said Venand.
The walls of the hall rose uninterrupted to the base of the dome.
"No way for the orcs to get up there."
"And no reason for them to do so,"
Worfis said. He sounded disgusted.
"This is futile."
Venand was still looking up at the hemisphere of darkness when the beams went away. So she saw the light that stayed behind.
"Wait,"
she said. She stared, wondering if she was hallucinating. There was a silvery glow around the base of the dome. It was so faint, it vanished when Venand looked directly at it. She focused her gaze instead on the crown. The silver grew stronger in her peripheral vision. She perceived brighter points and the hint of tracery.
"There is something. A faint phosphorescence."
The Space Marines and Veritas moved towards her position. They turned off their lights. The hall fell into pitch darkness. Venand could see the glow more clearly now. She could look at it directly, though she saw nothing more than the most fragile gossamer of grey.
"Those are stars," she said. "It's another chart."
"One that someone sought to obliterate," said Abathar. "Can you make a record of it?" Thane asked.
"Yes. It is too faint for Pict inscription, but I am making a copy of the stars' positions relative to each other."
"Will that be enough for the navigator?"
"We will hope it is."
"I see nothing in the centre," said Straton. "Is something missing? Is it possible all that remains is the edge of the chart?"
"Unlikely," said Abathar. "The scoring cuts across the full height of the dome. The phosphorescence is limited to the lower third. There is..."
He trailed off.
"What is it?" said Thane. "I am uncertain. The pattern I've recorded is suggestive, but we will have to wait for confirmation aboard the Herald of Night."
"Suggestive of what?"
said Thane.
"I trust your conclusions, Brother Abathar. If this is a chart, it points to nothing at all."
"You mean there is no direction?"
said Veritas.
"Or that it is unreadable?"
"Neither, Inquisitor. I mean as I say, nothing. The crown of the dome is between systems. There truly is nothing there."